If you enjoy the harrowing of Minerva Damson and want to join the Order of Joan in their fight against the monsters stalking the trenches, there are several ways you can support the war effort. Find us on Patreon and enlist, or donate to the Order on Acast. You can also connect with Order headquarters via Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Links can be found in our bio. The Harrowing of Minerva Damson is a horror podcast and contains descriptions of war that some may find graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gabriela Mendoza had never been overseas. Hell, she'd only ever been as far as the southern border of Comancheria on a couple of rare trips with her daddy. He liked to buy the Pueblo silver necklaces that came down on the Pisatiki freight lines for his shop. At least before he passed, God rest his soul. Most of Gabby's life she'd spent on a ranch near Goliad in South Texas, learning how to take care of a fair piece of land from her mama, how to keep house from her mamma, and how to shoot every which way a person might imagine by her uncle. Her three older sisters had already married and started families in other towns, so she had her run of the place. Her uncle was a vaquero, so he would come and go, and when he went, he'd be gone for months on cattle drives. But he gave her lessons when he was home, and when he left again, he'd give her some new technique to master. It wasn't long before Gabby gained a reputation for being a fast hand and a trick shot, reminiscent of bygone wilder western days. She'd won some prizes, some good money too, at contests. First from little bets placed between locals, then big bets, then at the county fair. She was invited to perform at the San Antonio Livestock Show and Rodeo of 1916, but she never went. A much more interesting offer was made to her 2 days before she was set to step into the arena. She'd been dining at a busy dinner hall with her mama and mamma in San Antone when two women in very smart uniforms approached her. Gabby noticed the swords only a moment later, their hilts winking under the gas lamplight.
¿Eres la chica a la que llaman Goliath, Gabby?
One of them said, casting a doubtful eye over her. Gabby was familiar with the look. At 17, she was only just over 5 feet tall and still lean as a beanstalk. Her mother straightened in her seat, noting the uniforms, the swords, and the rank patches on their sleeves.
I could ask who's asking, but that ain't no mystery. What do you want with my girl?
The second knight stepped in, a tall, middle-aged woman.
Pardon us, Mrs. Mendoza, for interrupting your supper. I am Knight Matron Santiago, and this is Knight Maiden Baker. We wish to have an urgent word with you and your daughter.
About what?
Her mama glanced between them, and Gabby could see that telltale expression on her face, the one that always reminded her of storm clouds gathering on the horizon.
What makes you think you can just waltz in here and interrupt our supper?
It concerns the war.
Take a seat, Gabby quickly said. She'd never seen any knights from the Order of Joan up close before, only very occasionally from afar. Her mother, though, stood, the squall behind her eyes close to breaking.
No, do not sit down. Whatever you have to say, you'll say it to me first.
With that, her mother marched toward the dinner hall entrance. Reluctantly, the knights followed, eyes lingering on Gabby before they turned and wove their way through the tables. Gabby leaned back in her seat, cross. Her granny patted her arm soothingly.
Oh, Mamma, they came here to see me. If they have something to say, I should get to hear it.
Mamma shook her head, patient as ever.
Hush now. Your mother's just being protective, and for good reason. You know those knights are recruiting. She'll tell you what they have to say once she gets back. And if she doesn't, she'll tell me, and I'll tell you.
That was meant to make Gabby smile, but she could only manage a half-hearted one. She knew the order was recruiting, but they usually did that from booths or little roadside stalls. She didn't know anyone who'd been personally approached by them, and she knew a few girls who'd signed up already. One was a decent friend of hers that she knew from school, Susie Jacobs. A letter had just come in the mail from Susie that weekend with news that she was being trained to use some kind of club with spikes all over it. It wasn't that Gabby was all that interested in war. She sure wasn't interested in killing people. But Susie'd said that knights weren't supposed to kill people like soldiers were, and she kept going on about getting to go to Switzerland, which was supposed to have the most beautiful mountains you'd ever seen and snow like you'd never imagined. Gabby had never seen snow, but she thought it would be a fine thing to gaze upon. It was a terrible war, no doubt. It was just that, well, it sure did seem to take people a lot of places they'd have never seen otherwise. That, and the fact that Santi was over there. Sweet Santi, with his one crooked tooth that looked so charming when he smiled. Santi, who never minded playing games with girls even after the other boys in school got too old to be bothered. He was the second best pitcher on their school baseball team, the third place winner in the county barrel racing competition, and the first and only boy Gabby had ever loved. Santi had signed up almost as soon as America had joined the war last year. He'd only written Gabby once or twice, but she'd heard from Rita that he was in Belgium. He wrote to Rita much more often, but had Rita ever bruised her tailbone from falling off a horse because she was riding too fast on a dirt road to return Santi's favorite hat to him before his mama could find out and beat the tar out of him the day before the photographer came to town to take pictures of graduating seniors? No, she had not. Just as these resentful thoughts began to get the best of her, Gabby's mother stormed back into the dinner hall without the knights. Mama, Gabby said, standing herself, her supper forgotten. What'd they say? Her mother didn't say anything for a long moment. When she did, her voice was shaking.
They said they heard of your talents. That one of their knights was at the county fair last month and saw you shoot that moving target over your shoulder. They said they needed someone who could do that to...
She took a drink of water.
To kill a monster.
What kind of monster? Gabby demanded. Her mother shivered.
It doesn't matter. I told them to go away.
That evening, when they returned to their hotel, Gabby's mama sent her up to their room and remained outside in the cool February night air with Mamaw. Gabby scrambled up the stairs, unlocked the door, and darted to the window, opening it a crack to listen. It was her good luck that they were standing not far below. Or perhaps Mamaw had planned it that way, knowing that Gabby would certainly be listening.
Gertie, it's time. She's got to make her own decisions, especially with something as life-changing as this could be.
She'll leave, and she might not come back.
She will leave anyway. Gab is too big for this place. She needs challenges and excitement. The only reason she got so good with those guns in the first place was because there wasn't nothing else to do around here. I told you we needed to take her to a bigger city so she wouldn't have to do tricks with guns to keep herself happy, and you said no. Now the Order's taken an interest in her and put this idea in her head of travel and monsters, and that decision has come home to roost. If you deny her this, I wouldn't be surprised if we wake up one morning to find she's run off and lied about her age to join up. At least this way, maybe we can tip things in Gabby's favor. Do it on our own terms.
Her mama protested, but even Gabby could hear that it was mostly bark with no bite. Heart racing, she closed the window, quickly stripped her outer layers, and jumped into bed just as the two older women's footsteps started down the hallway. She shut her eyes and pretended to be asleep. Both her mama and Mamaw were silent as they came in, and Gabby was afraid her mama would know that she'd been listening, would see her heart pattering like a hummingbird's wings beneath her ribs. But if she suspected anything, she said nothing. Gabby only felt the press of her mama's lips against her forehead before the two women began preparing for bed. And that was the moment Gabby knew it was truly happening.
She was going to see the world.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
And that was how she ended up in Bulgaria, in the back of a truck that rumbled like thunder and growled like a bear as it jounced along a dirt road, her trusty Winchester 94 braced across her knees and a pack buckled on her back. Not that her mama had just let her go easy as all that. No, her mama had demanded an audience with the marshal at the San Antonio headquarters, and if Gabby understood it right, gave that marshal a tongue lashing up one side and down the other. By the time her mama was done with them, they'd conceded to all her stipulations to secure Gabby's safety and future. Money the order had, and they would gladly give. Gabby would earn half again the normal wartime wages for a new recruit, which were already generous. Whether she left the order's service after this single mission or stayed on for another 20 years, she'd receive a full pension and benefits. Gabby had been pining over a Savage Model 99 for ages, and her mama had had that thrown into the bargain too upon completion of the mission, which made Gabby squeal with delight when she heard. In the end, her mother had signed the papers with the assurance that Gabby would be aided by two order personnel, experienced individuals with the knowledge and know-how to make up for what Gabby lacked. With those assurances, Gabby had finally been brought in to sign her name on the dotted line. I'd have asked your mama to join up with an attitude like that, but I don't think I know a marshal who could wrangle her. Marshal Greenfally had confessed several days later, shortly before she put Gabby, dressed in her brand new persimmon and khaki uniform, and her family on a train to Galveston. A few hours later, Gabby boarded a ship bound for the Mediterranean. Her mama and mamma waved from the pier as the ship went out to sea, and Gabby waved enthusiastically back. There were tears on her mother's face, a rare sight indeed, but Gabby had only smiles to give. In the weeks she spent on the ocean, Gabby realized two things: that the sea was best experienced from the beach, and that her schoolteacher, Miss Dahl, had nothing on an order none. Sister scribe Deborah Bimnett filled every hour of her day at sea with lessons on monsters and magic theory and the rules of engagement and such, and not once did Gabby get to practice with her rifle. She sorely missed its trusty and familiar weight, and besides, she still needed to stay sharp. When she brought up that crucial point, however, Sister Bimnett countered that the captain had very sensibly forbade the girl, no matter how supposedly skilled she was, from practicing with firearms on his ship. And anyway, she wouldn't be shooting any monsters out on the rolling ocean now, would she? And then Bimnett promptly went back to the most salient lesson of all to Gabby's mission.
everything there was to know about the particular monster she was to fight, the cockatrice. It was said to be the size of a buffalo, half rooster, half snake, and bad news from beak to tail. Its teeth, and it somehow stored fangs in that beak, so Gabby supposed that sometimes chickens really did have teeth, were packed with a heart-stopping venom, not unlike a rattler, and it didn't have to inject it into a body either, but simply spray it with its breath. Its eyes, and this was crucial, Bimnit stressed, could strike her dead with one look, a fate that had befallen every night before her, and there had been many. There hadn't been a cockatrice in Europe since the earliest days of the Order, and whatever documents might have existed chronicling the best methods to kill it had been lost. So the Order was having to learn again from scratch. They'd tried a rooster's crow, but apparently that had been no good, and the cockatrice had gobbled up the rooster along with the knight and the poor local girl who had been sent to test that theory. Looking upon its own reflection seemed to weaken it, but not enough to give the knights who attacked it immediately afterward enough of an advantage to stay alive. Tinted glasses, magically enhanced or otherwise, didn't protect knights from the cockatrice's fatal glare. Poisoned bait did nothing, no trap was strong enough to hold it, and its hide was fireproof. All that had brought the Order to the more unconventional and decidedly modern approach they were employing today. The use of firearms. They felt reasonably certain it would work. Gabby wrinkled her nose, finally feeling a little uneasy upon hearing this long list of trial and error and horrible death.
Why me, then? There's better hunters, and I'm sure you gals have snipers. Why aren't you using one of them?
Sister Bimnit nodded.
Yes, we have hunters and snipers, that much is true. But the terrain is densely forested and rolling. Snipers can't get a good shot, and anything in close quarters is risky because it necessitates looking directly at the monster. Your skills allow you to get close enough to aim through the trees while using its reflection. It's an elegant solution.
It was a solution, Gabby reflected privately, but its elegance remained to be seen. The Order suspected the cockatrice had not been born spontaneously, which only happened when a toad or a snake sat on a chicken egg until it hatched, but had instead been made and unleashed by one side or the other. As was usual with monsters such as these, it couldn't be controlled or contained, and it had been running rampant through some Bulgarian woods, killing soldiers and townspeople alike and feasting upon them to its heart's content. Sister Bimnit sent Gabby to her berth with more reading on the cockatrice, which Gabby did. As she rocked on the ocean, Gabby was struck by the thought that maybe she had bitten off more than she could rightly chew, but it was too late now. And since it was too late now, she decided not to ponder her doom or possible demise, and instead remember that she was pretty hot stuff where she came from. She'd ridden that horse this far in life, and she didn't see why she should get off now. On the seldom occasion she did have time to herself, Gabby wrote to her mama and mamma about the voyage and what she was learning, leaving the most worrisome bits out, of course, and to Susie Jacobs to tell her she'd joined up too, been recruited personally, even. And finally, having plucked up the courage, to Santi. That letter wasn't as long as she might have written, because she frankly had too much pride to pour her heart out on a page to someone who might not feel the same way, even if she thought he oughta. What little she did say was heartfelt, and it got the point across well enough, she thought. It could be summed up nicely as saying, Santi, I've gone and done it now. I've joined the war myself because the Order needs little old me to rid them of a frightful monster that can kill a person 10 ways in less than 10 seconds. And isn't that just something? Don't worry. Or do if it makes you feel better, but write either way. This letter better find you well, or I'll be cross that all my hopes and prayers haven't been doing what they oughta, and I'll have to take more time to pray the rosary than I already do, and you know how that makes me cranky, because I'd rather solve my problems by shooting him, and I simply can't shoot you, and I ain't there to shoot yours. So it'd be in your best interest to be alive and stay that way. Maybe we'll see each other soon? And she thought about signing love, or hugs and kisses, or something, but she just finished with the all-purpose sincerely and her name.
And then, though the weeks at sea had seemed long and slow-moving as molasses while in the thick of them, suddenly they were sailing through the Dardanelles, which Gabby couldn't rightly appreciate because they were passing through in the night, and then the Bosporus Strait, where the city of Constantinople crowded around them on all sides, the great Hagia Sophia visible over the tight rows of buildings both great and small, ancient and modern. People bustled along the streets and down the waterways, their small boats skirting the bigger commercial vessels, and everywhere there was something to see. Gabby knew then that, troubles aside, this was what her enlistment had bought her. A ticket to see this wider world, so much bigger and more vibrant than she had even imagined. She also knew that this sliver of a glimpse before her wasn't nearly enough to satisfy her hunger. She wanted more. And she'd always want more. Once they passed into the Black Sea, it wasn't long before they reached Burgas, a city jutting out into the sparkling water on a spit of land, its buildings snug up against each other, each topped with cheerful red tiles or sheets of bronze and crowned with streamers of wood smoke curling up from thousands of chimneys to perfume the early spring air. As Gabby leaned over the gunwale, she was surprised by the sudden pressure of a hand closing on her shoulder. Sister Bimnett stood behind her, and Gabby couldn't help a broad smile from cracking across her face as she said, "Oh, it's not so awesome as Constantinople, sure, but it's still charming as a postcard, don't you reckon?" Sister Bimnett didn't answer, simply returned a tight smile that didn't reach her eyes. Gabby tossed her braided black hair over her shoulder and looked back out across the water. "Don't worry about me too much, sister. I'm a bit like old shoe leather."
"And how's that?"
"I'm tougher than I look." Sister Bimnett didn't look convinced exactly, but that was fine. Gabby didn't need her to believe she could succeed. She just needed herself to.
"Go fetch your things, Night Maiden Mendoza," Sister Bimnett finally said. "You'll need them soon enough."
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Harrowing of Minerva Damson and its related stories are written, narrated, and produced by Jessica Linkhart, and features additional voice work by Miranda Lewis, Claire Miller, and Jamie Sykes. Art assets done in collaboration with Mitch Lewis. Thank you for listening. Our tale will continue next week.